Blog Talk Radio.
The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Is January Jones. She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with world high stakes golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware. Because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a terrific day. I'm January Jones, and I'd like to welcome you to our podcast today. As you can see, I'm getting ready to promote my new brand, Glitter Granny. I'll be doing associate affiliate marketing at Amazon.com, and we'll be promoting all kinds of things that glitter, canes, hats, jewelry, you name it, and we'll make that available. We'll be launching next month, so we'll let you know more about that when it comes. So now for my listeners, let me ask you a question. Do you have grandchildren? Aren't they amazing? Isn't it special to be a grandmother? I have seven, and I'm going to be interviewing another wonderful granny, and we'll be talking about her grandchildren and all the wonderful books. Tell me, do you hope we can make this world a better place for our kids and our grandkids? Well, yes, of course we do. We all do. Have you ever heard of a trilogy of books at Amazon? Books that are one book that especially was entitled When Grandma Giggles, which tickled me. If you can answer yes or maybe, then you are in the right place. And welcome to January Jones Sharing Senior Success Stories. Now it's time. Rest, relax. Go get some wine, get some cheese, crackers, whatever, and join us in the No Wine Zone. Now, let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. She has been writing inspiring and empowering books for children since 2009. Her self-published work has reached more than 50 countries, and she has sold over more than 18,000 copies. She has worked as a teacher, a counselor for 32 years. She is a mother, and as I said earlier, she is a grandmother. She's been inspired by her students, starting in classes K through 12, and she has taught, and her children and grandchildren continue to teach her and have inspired her work. This has been a passion project for her. I think it's been a passion life, truly. Let me welcome to the show today, Patricia Wilson. Hi, Pat. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Thank you for that great introduction.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you on the show, because when I saw the promotion for When Grandma Giggled, that just tickled me. And I knew I had to have you on to the show to talk about being a grandmother and your wonderful books. It's an amazing thing when senior women are doing the kind of things that you're doing. When did you write your first book?
The first book was written in 2006.
Okay.
And it took me quite a while to find an illustrator and get it. And I actually got it self-published in 2009.
Oh, wow. So that took you 3 years. You know, that's interesting because when I started getting into the book writing business, I went to a conference in New York and everyone said to me, whatever you do, don't even ever, ever consider writing children's books.
I know.
They said it seems like, oh, that would be easy. I could knock one of those out. But apparently and truly, I know this from experience now, it's one of the most difficult type of books to write. And why do you think that is, Pat?
I think we have to be very careful as writers that we are putting the right words into little kids' minds.
Yeah.
And so you have to vet every line. You have to make sure that you're reaching every kid. It doesn't matter the rich or poor, or tall or short, or whatever color that you want to get a book that all children can on some level relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the books that I write aren't particularly like about a little bird or a little mouse or a little rabbit. They're all sort of self-confidence building books.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're very much, I would say, quite practical books.
Yeah, and you're working on helping self-esteem. Before we talk about your books more, let me give us a little background story. Where were you born and a little short bio of your life, your children, and your grandchildren.
Oh, wow. Well, I was born and raised in northern Alberta in a small town. In Alberta, Canada. And I went to university and took a Bachelor of Education degree and started teaching just after I turned 20.
Okay.
And I taught in a career over 40 years. I stopped to have my kids and stuff like that, but I was actually full-time teaching over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the last 10 years of my career, I was doing counseling at the school.
Okay.
And my two kids had kids, which made me happy. I had never thought about writing a children's book. It hadn't entered my mind. And all of the books are inspired by my grandchildren.
It's
just been fun. And my eldest granddaughter, who was sort of my writing muse,
mm-hmm.
has really inspired the wording. And then my second granddaughter really helped with the graphics and amazing books. So, I mean, and then, of course, I got three little boys that who just like to laugh and play and have fun.
Yeah, that's the boy thing. So you have five grandchildren, two girls. Three boys.
Okay.
Yeah. I have four boys and three girls.
Oh, wow.
And I always tell people that the grandchildren are your reward for not killing your children.
They are wonderful treasures, aren't they?
Yes, it's truly a blessing, and it's just so amazing to watch them grow, and it's like you get a second chance, don't you agree? You get to go back, because when you were doing your own children, oh my gosh, there was so much stress and this and that. You had so many things to think about, and then when the grandchildren show up, you just can kind of sit back and watch your children do their thing, and I think it's the most amazing experience that I've ever had.
And when we feel tired, we just say, see ya, I have to go to bed now.
Yeah. hand them back. Oh, no. I think every grandma listening knows exactly what both of us are saying about that. So your granddaughters inspired you to do the book, and tell me in what way that happened. How did that come about?
Well, the first book I wrote was I Am Amazing.
Oh.
Which is a book I would never write, I Am Amazing. Because it's odd. You know, you're more inclined to say, you are amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it came as a result of a counseling session with a young girl who had tried to end her life.
Oh,
she came back to school, and of course, they send her to the counseling office. And during the session, it was emotionally very loaded, and I was trying to get her to say that she liked herself.
Oh, okay.
And she said, "I don't," and she just stormed out of the counseling office.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great session, but it taught me something very important, because that night, my son phoned, and my eldest granddaughter had been born. She was a few months old. And he kept saying, "Mom, she's so amazing. She's so amazing." And I thought, well, why didn't this other little girl realize that she's amazing too? But I didn't give it a thought. And the next morning I awakened, and without coffee, I went to the next room. And it's like I caught the news. That the book came tumbling in, and I had "I Am Amazing, We Are Amazing, Life is Amazing" in a skeleton form.
Okay. It just came to you.
It just came, boom, boom, like that.
And you've never written a book before?
No.
Okay. I love this story. This is a good one.
And so, like, what do you do with it? You want to change it to "You Are Amazing" because it's more socially acceptable. But then I just thought, and then at first the original book was just affirmations, a list of affirmations. But then my friends thought that it was kind of dry, so they asked me to rhyme it somehow.
Oh, okay.
And a really, I'm sure you know this, Jenny, but writing is cutting. You know, you cut. You write, cut, you write, you cut.
Edit. Yeah.
Because my little book is this big. It's a tiny book. It's 6 by 6 inches. It's got 32 pages. And you have to get everything you want to say in between 400 and 500 words.
Oh, wow.
So I did the first one, and I found a fantastic illustrator who at first had made this little figure, had put little clothes on figures, and had a tall one and a short one and a black one, and you know, all she had tried to make it as inclusive.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Possible. But after a year, she showed me all her drawings, and I was so excited. And she said, "Can I do it again?"
Okay, yeah, you can.
And I said, "Well, sure." And so she came up with this little figure. This little figure has no gender, nothing that will divide this.
I'm looking at it.
And so it's sort of like I call the little figures little soulkins.
Okay.
And I believe we all have a soul, and I believe we're all related. But that's me. But these
are. I love that she put the little heart. I mean, that just says it all. And the figure, it's amazing. It's brilliant, actually, in my opinion.
It is. She's a brilliant, brilliant artist. And so she did all three of them. She did "I Am Amazing." It took me a long time to do "We Are Amazing" because I was listening to too much news.
I gotcha. You know what, Pat? While we're sharing a little laugh, I'm going to take a break here and share with our listeners that if you are a whiner and if you know a whiner, this is
a great book.
The book for you.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back with one of my new senior best friends, Patricia Wilson. And she is not a whiner because she is a winner. Of course she is. And Pat, could you share with our listeners your contact information now and where they can get your book? And let's get that out there.
But first, congratulations. Number one on Amazon.com. That's great.
Many years ago, but wonderful nevertheless.
Yeah, wonderful. I agree with you. Whining, I like people to find a solution rather than spend time whining. I mean, mention it once, but gee, it gets repetitive, right?
Oh, yeah. So nicely done.
I'll look forward to seeing that book. My books are available on Amazon.ca, not .com. They're Amazon.ca.
Okay.
Canadian.
Oh, Canadian. Okay.
I don't know. You might have to find it through Pierre Wilson Books. In the Amazon thing, and Pierre Wilson Books might be a way to get in, but you can do it with the titles.
Okay. Yeah. And your website, I'm looking at it here, is amazingbooks.com, right?
.ca.
.ca. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did them both Canadian. And it's info@amazingbooks.ca is my website, like is my email.
Okay.
info@amazingbooks.ca.
Okay. Well, I did Amazing Books and you came up. So I was thrilled to see it. And the books are incredible. They're just like Thou Shall Not Whine. These are great books to give or to get for people. They're just, if you have a time when you need to give a sweet little gift to any of your loved ones or friends or other grannies who are raising grandchildren and dealing with little ones, these books are incredible. I would recommend them highly. And how old were you? Let me ask you, how old were you when you wrote I Am Amazing?
Well, I was born in 48.
Okay.
And that was in 2006. So it's,
you're going to cut my nails a little, aren't you?
And so you started in 2006.
Yeah.
I think so.
Did that make me 58? You do the math.
Yeah. About math. That's not my thing. But what I love about it is I was 50 when I wrote my first book, and you were into your 60s. And it's just this amazing superpower that seems to come once you become a granny. And all of a sudden, you're thinking things and doing things previously never would have been possible because you were so busy raising kids. Don't you think that's true?
I agree.
Yeah.
And I grew up, like I wrote I Am Amazing and Ed published it in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
We Are Amazing, I waited till 2016, so 7 years later.
Wow, okay.
And then Life Is Amazing, I published in 2022.
Oh, okay.
2021. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I grew up with the books.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I had written Life Is Amazing. You can imagine writing Life Is Amazing. I started with how little caterpillars go into a cocoon and come out butterflies and all these things. And then you would have a book this thick about being amazing. So you had to find a way to hone it down. So I was able to find it. And I was also able to move into the fact that life was such a gift because it came. I did the alterations to the book during COVID.
Oh, okay.
And you can't be too glib about what happened in COVID.
Oh,
so so many lives were changed and lost, and so you don't want to make light of life is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, I went into it and said, life is amazing because we're here. And we get to be here. And through no particular work on our own, we are here and we get to be here and we get to participate in life, engage in life, and do our best to make it together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That, like you, when you're younger, you don't have the same understandings. In the last 4 years have given us, I was born in 48, so this has been quite a time of reflection.
Oh, for sure. Sure.
You know, for what has changed. And I'm noticing because the kids are my passion. Anxiety, depression is off the charts.
Yeah. And your message, I feel your message is short, smart, and sweet. And it gets right to the point, which is what you have to do with children.
Yeah, children, you do.
Everyone is the amazing part of life. I don't think you really start to appreciate it till you get to be our age. I was born in 43, and I just turned 80 this year.
Oh, and nicely done, girl.
And, you know, that's a celebration because I never thought I'd ever live this long. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm the first one in my family to reach the 80 number. And what a gift to be mm-hmm. able to share this experience. Don't you agree?
Well, that's wonderful. I agree with you. And it is. There is something that you just feel lucky to be alive when you look around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the Grandma Giggle came. That book came when my two little girls and my daughter-in-law were watching a very simple little show on DVD. It mm-hmm. had subtitles, and it was about this little these little kids had a frog with a broken leg. They took it to the vet. The vet was an older woman. At the end of it, they go out to the pasture to let the little frog go. And when the vet leans down to release the little frog, she farts. And her little dress goes out like this. Well, my kids were hysterical. And I thought, like, of course, they're so funny. So then the Grandma Giggle, of course, I'm an English teacher, too.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I had to start with when Grandma Giggled, Silly Salmon Smiled. And when Silly Salmon Smiled, Goofy Goose Grinned. And when Goofy, and I went on and on uh-huh. until I got the second one. When Rambo Rhino roared, Kooky Crows cracked up.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
It was cracked up. Laffy Llama lost it. And when Laffy Llama lost it, Funny Frog. And there's one word, farted. And it only took 10 minutes to write that book.
Oh, really? Oh, gosh.
I had to do alliteration with the names, like,
yeah,
Laugh, Lamb, and Goofy Goose, or stuff like that. And then my artist friend Irene did this one, and that one was very challenging to make animals corny without being too over the top. I thought she did a remarkable job on the art. And she put a little tiny slug in all the pictures.
Oh,
tiny little slug. Smiley slug is in every little picture. You can have to find it in every page.
Oh, it's hidden.
Kids love that.
Yeah. Well, this is wonderful visiting with Patricia Wilson. And right now we're going to take a break and share a book I wrote when 30 years ago. Oh, yeah. I wrote this book. What an amazing experience.
Let me ask you a question. Are you still wondering who killed Kennedy? Over 50 years later, the assassination is still a mystery. It is unfinished business for our country. Now, get ready for a theory that you've never heard before, but will make more sense than any other conspiracy theory that you've ever heard in the past.
January Jones speaks the unspeakable in her book, Jackie, Ari, and Jack, The Tragic Love Triangle, connecting Jackie and Aristotle Onassis romantically prior to JFK's assassination. Did you know that Ari was Jackie's guest in the White House during the JFK funeral? He was the only non-family member who was invited by Jackie to stay there during the funeral. Aristotle Onassis was one of the wealthiest men in the world, with the means, the motive, and the money to order an assassination that was the perfect crime of the last century. Ari needed class, and Jackie needed cash. They were perfect for each other. Now, what is Camelot? It is but another tragic love triangle. Jackie, Ari, and Jack is available at JanuaryJones.com, Amazon.com, and audiobooks.com, read by Ms. Jones.
Welcome back with the author of When Grandma Giggled. And truthfully, Pat, I must tell you that when I saw Grandma Giggled, I'm just crazy for alliteration. And my new website project is Glitter Granny Gift. And when Grandma Giggled, that just hit the button for me. I knew I had to have you on this show. When did you write that book? Where did you fit that in on this time frame?
I Am Amazing was the first one. 2014.
Oh, okay. Oh.
So it was 5 years after. The one in between was My Magical Nightmare, this little guy here.
Okay.
And that one was my eldest granddaughter was sleeping beside me, and she was struggling with nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I had been taking my psychology and teaching and counseling, I'd run across an article in Psychology Today that said, when you have a nightmare, this must have been 30 years ago, maybe even probably closer to 40. Funny how we can talk like this, right? they said, never, if you wake up with a nightmare, never leave it. Always go back and either think it or imagine it, but change the ending so that you come out feeling strong. You don't want to go through your day if you've had a nightmare. It's just not, it stays with you unless you rejig your energy. Mm-hmm. And so I said to her, well, we were sleeping beside each other. I said, so maybe if you get a bad dream, just change the ending, you know, just make it what you want. And when she went in, I said, well, did you have a nightmare? And she said, no, I didn't, Grandma. And I said, well, and then she said, but I did see my other grandma's horse right beside my bed. And I thought, well, there you go. So I wrote My Magical Nightmare, and it is, it's for kids who have nightmares, but I use it a lot in the counseling office for bullying.
Oh, okay.
So teach kids how to use their imagination. They get in through the senses. Here's how I've learned to call her. I make pictures with my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Imagine how I feel with her. And I practice lots and lots. I see her standing by me.
Mm-hmm.
My fingers brush her sides, touching. I smell her warmth. I hear her name. And I feel safe inside. And my granddaughter help me again with the line, and I said, I feel strong inside.
Uh-huh.
And she said, no, Grandma, it's safe. I feel safe.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And, you know, when you think about all of us, it's not just kids. That's the key thing that drives our trust and our peace, feel safe.
Feeling safe, yeah.
And
yeah.
So, like, again, I got tremendous help from my daughters.
Well, I must confess that I think they are brilliant, and I'm sure you would agree with me. And I've noticed through the years that small people, little people, they somehow, in my opinion, are so connected to the other side. They're new arrivals.
Yeah.
Whole new experience for them. And I think their DNA brings along some things, because I know several of my grandchildren have said things to me that were just incredible, things that they had experienced with another grandmother and in another life. And they'd say, well, do you remember when such and such thing happened? Oh, I don't remember that at all. And they'll look at me and they'll say, oh, that was with another grandma. And it comes out. And it comes out when they're at that 4 or 5 year old age.
Yeah,
and as they get older, you don't hear that kind of thing anymore. It's kind of, they've moved on. They've moved on to this dimension. Now, when you're writing, do you feel you get, you said you woke up and you had the whole book in your head. Do you feel there's any particular person guiding you or helping you with these projects, or is it just coming from a wonderful place?
Well, I have to say some kind of a source. Like, I don't know. I think somebody wrote a book called Catching the Muse. That's Eat, Pray, Love. Catching the Muse, I guess that's what it is. I'd never experienced it before or since. So the tree that took 14 years to write, and I don't think that's more than 1,500 words. It took me that long to write.
a word a year, practically.
But, you know, I just needed to... I needed to think about how they would land into a child's mind, because children's books are repeated.
Yes.
So you want to make sure that every word has got a frequency that is going to land properly in the child's mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what took the time. The Grandma Giggle, like I said, was a short run, fun, easy. Yes. My Magic Nightmare, I got a really good shout out to this artist. She took art in university. And she did really amazing art. I don't know whether you can see it, but
I've got the cover here in front of me. It's a hoop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she. So I managed to find like three wonderful artists. Me and were able to express their gifts, because really they're exceptional artists.
Yeah, and you know that gets right back to timing, because when the time is right, things come together. And sometimes you have no idea how that could happen, but all of a sudden things come to you, and when the time is right, there they are. It's wonderful the way it works, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, do you have any projects on the drawing board? I'm always curious to know what other senior grannies are up to these days.
Okay. Well, I about 5 years ago, I thought about writing a book called Death, Etc.
Called what?
Death, Etc.
Death, Etc. Okay.
And it's in the beginning stages. With my experience of death, I listened to your podcast with the young woman who wrote about The Undertaker's writing about her experiences. And mine would be sort of my take on it, but sort of putting a light spin on it as well. Like, you can't deal with that topic differently, of course, but My greatest teacher was a woman who had early onset Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
So she got it when she was 49, and I watched her every step of the way for 16 years. And then she hired me to be her counselor. And I said, no, I wouldn't accept money. She said, well, then I won't pay anybody, and I sure need help. So she made me take $40 an hour. I couldn't tell her what to do. And we did make the difficult decision to have medical assistance in dying.
And
so I went through that whole process, and I gained an unbelievable understanding and respect for that decision and for the things that she had to stand up against. You know, a lot of people were saying that she was committing suicide.
Oh, yeah.
She understood that she couldn't live without the medication she was on.
Yeah.
And so basically all she was doing was getting off meds with help from the system.
Okay.
Because it was the medications that kept her alive. So she was able to get off her meds and move forward. And it was an exceptionally inspirational. Hard to put it into words. It was an exceptional experience.
That's so special. And thank you so much for sharing that. I know that is difficult sometimes to talk about death. But we're going to come back to this topic. But before we do, I've written some books about some priceless personalities who have been on the show, just like Pat. And I hope you'll consider reading these.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have struggled to find solutions? People who fearlessly shared their stories? People who have not only informed you, but inspired you? People who have priceless personalities? I have been fortunate to host an internet radio talk show called January Jones Sharing Success Stories. And it has been my privilege to interview hundreds of guests. My guests have shared their stories, their struggles, their secrets, and their successes in their own words. In this book, we're talking about people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, runaway kids, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, and starting over. Then there are my guests dealing with difficult physical struggles such as blindness, cancer, and birth defects that are beyond traumatic. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They have amazed, amused, and even astonished me. I have adored getting to meet them, and I adore sharing them with you.
Attention all listeners, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, Volume 2 is now available at Amazon.com in paperback and Kindle editions. You'll be able to meet 10 amazing people who will be sharing their own personal stories with all their struggles, successes, and solutions sprinkled with lots of humor and hope. Priceless Personalities features a teenager who becomes one of the famous Supremes from Motown, a nurse who as a humorist helps people to heal, an inspiring laughter yoga instructor, a mother dealing with the loss of a child, an incredible motivational speaker, a woman who married 5 times, a gifted paranormal nurse, a wise economist, a funny female humorist, along with an older man sharing his sweet childhood in the Deep South. January's guests are all amazing and amusing. You will never forget meeting them. Go to Amazon.com for your own priceless experience.
Welcome back. Before our break, Pat and I were talking about the difficulty in writing about death and dying. And briefly, I want to share with you that the genesis of Thou Shalt Not Whine, my first title, I had lost a dear friend, and she bravely passed over, and I wanted to write a book called Dying Without Whining, which I copyrighted, and I had that all ready to go. And, of course, the book was done, and all the publishers said, no, 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 you can't write a book about dying because no one will want to read it. It's too depressing. So then we came up with the 11th Commandment. And now, and I copyrighted Dying Without Whining, and through the years, all kinds of people have contacted me, said, oh, we want to publish it. When is it ready? And I'm going, well, not now, but I've resurrected it, and I'm coming out, and I have changed the title. I've changed it to Living and Dying Without Whining, and it'll be out later this year. And
Yeah,
and I'm very excited about it because, as you said, that's a difficult, difficult topic, isn't it?
It is, but, you know, you're born in 43 a bit, you know, before the baby boom, but 46 is 64.
Yeah.
This huge demographic entered the world, the baby boomers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're all looking at the same thing, and we are the majority population. So I think it's really good to be able to sit and talk about what is instead of pretending that it isn't.
I know.
Everybody that is born will die.
Yeah.
It's a given. It is one of the very few givens of our lives. So we can try to, I don't know, do whatever we can to achieve immortality, but so far nobody has achieved it in the physical form.
No. And you know, one of the topics I address in my book is that everyone wants to know why bad things happen to good people. And my thoughts on this is that, hey, guess what? No matter what bad thing happens to you, someone else will have had something worse. And no one gets a pass on bad things because we're here to learn how to cope. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, everyone. Yeah.
Everybody. Like it just, you know, and you know, there's various ways of processing it. There's as many ways to grieve as there are people in the world.
Absolutely.
I don't understand grief judgment.
Yeah.
You know, I just, you're judging an emotional experience, but, you know, I guess that's what people are people. But, yeah, I think it is the one that I myself think it's really good to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, because it's something everyone's going to face, and it's something we all have to deal with. And the older you get, as you're losing friends all the time, it's part of the process. And no one gets a pass on this experience. We all are going to, once you're born, you're going to go through that. And it's inevitable. And I think the trick here is trying to help people to grow old gracefully.
I had to deal with the kind of
big lessons
teenagers' minds when things don't go right, where they want to end their lives. And
I know.
And you know, I learned a lot from the students. And I would say, when I first talked to them, you know, because they were really thinking about leaving, period. Well, what are your beliefs in the afterlife? Mm-hmm. And they would tell me, and very often they didn't have a belief. And so I said, well, what would tomorrow look like if you do this?
Yeah.
I think it was the first time they actually reckoned with that question.
Yeah.
They hadn't really put that together. And then I would say, what's the rush? Why today? I would say, like, why wouldn't you want to try something? I would say, isn't there something you want to do in this world? Something you want to do before you decide to do this other thing. And everyone came up with, they wanted to go to the Eiffel Tower. They wanted to fly an airplane. And I said, well, why didn't you do that first? I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah.
You know? And of course, as you know, because we are older, this sort of defines the teenage years. And if you can just say, give them something to look forward to make it through the angst of being a teenager. Not one, thank God, not one of my students completed.
So wonderful.
And it was so wonderful. I've got lots still saving to go to what, but, you know, hopefully they've made it. Most of them have their own kids.
I've gone through two generations of teenagers, my own, and now my grandchildren. And it is one of the most difficult periods for people and families to navigate. Don't you think so?
Well, there's so much happening in the hormonal, the physical changes are pretty, you know?
Oh,
they think of the immediate solution is to get out of the pain. You know, but they don't think what that would look like. And I guess that's why I think Life is Amazing is the best book of all.
To just
understand that life is amazing because we're here and we can give back to life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In some way that we've been given this gift of life. mm-hmm. and in our life,
yeah.
we can rest. And I don't know, it was, yeah, it took 14 years to write a few hundred words, but...
it was worth the wait, and it's so wonderful to share this book with everyone, and I'm so glad I could have you on our podcast today. I have to do one more question, and this is something I ask everyone before we end the podcast. Now, if you could choose one person, living or dead, to have dinner with besides me, who would you choose?
Oh, many.
Yeah, she's thinking. Okay. You can have me and one other person.
Let's just invite the Dalai Lama and see what he has to say about what everything's going on.
Oh, wow.
Nice to have him live, right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine him sitting with us too?
Actually, I was on a flight one time, and we were across the aisle from each other, and I was overcome. All I could do was just stare and keep bowing my head.
Yeah. I think he has a lot of insights. I was really interested in one of the comments he made. Someone asked him who his greatest teacher was.
Oh, okay. What did he say?
Yes. He said Mao Zedong.
Oh.
Everybody thought he would say some venerable monk, but he said...
I thought you were going to say Gandhi, but...
I know, but he said, I had to learn how to deal with such strong negative emotions, and I had to move to a place of compassionate forgiveness. And it was... I just thought that was... it just blew my mind. I thought, wow, there's a person who walked a hard path and has still got... the grace of compassion, right?
Sure.
Yeah, pretty remarkable statement, I thought.
Oh, for sure. You know, in living and dying without whining, that's one of the things I've written about just recently, is that there are old souls amongst us.
Yeah.
And they are not here to learn, but rather to teach. And sometimes when people die early, they were too young to die. How could that happen? Oh, dear. Sorry, my watch went off. But when those people are here, they're here for a special mission. And I have met several. And when you meet them, you know, it's the real thing.
Yeah.
And he is definitely one of those people. And what an incredible answer.
Yeah, wasn't it? It shocked me.
It
made me understand something I wouldn't have never understood somehow, you know?
Sure. Great lesson. Well, we have to close out now. And to my dear listeners, I hope you've enjoyed our time together today. We've tried to be informative. We've tried to be inspiring. My upcoming guests will all be eclectic and energizing, just like Pat was today. My 80-year-old thought for today is about grandmas. Remember, grandmas are just like your mamas, however, without any rules and lots of cookies. So, Pat, thank you so much, and thank you, everyone, for entering the No Wine Zone, and please share our stories and show with everyone you know. Remember, you need to stop whining right now and then start smiling, and if that doesn't work, then you can start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Signing off, January Jones, the Glitter Granny. Goodbye, Pat, and come back anytime. I love having you with us. Now, everyone, take care and stay safe until we meet again.
Thank you.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.
Rồi. Đi đâu rồi đi ta? Nghỉ chưa chỉ làm đi chị.
Chân má.
Hello.
Okay, just make sure you're not
going to.
Đau lưng hả? Em dỡ cái cây lên. Kéo cái cây nó lên thì mỏi. Chờ.
Was the same thing again?
Yep.
Boy, almost half of us gone.
I know.
You guys go anywhere? Any clips?
Yes, we were just fishing and standing.
Wow. Did you get back?
Just got back.
Who was there?
My family's in Michigan, and his family's standing.
Oh, so he's from Canadian?
Yeah.
Well, that's where he's from.
Yep.
We're from the USA, right?
Oh, he's been in the US for a long time. So we've been married for almost 25 years. We met in Hawaii, so got married, he moved to the States.
Oh, huh?
Yep. Well, that's what I said. I could have met somebody. You know, I could have met somebody from China, Japan, Australia,
Hawaii.
Yeah, when I was in Hawaii. But I got somebody. be sick Sam now.
What? Sam? Sam. Oh, Sam?
Could be sick Sam.
Hmm. Well, everything's going on. I can't even understand, Well, the basic, you buy those, stamps, right?
Yeah, but just, that's
I mean, the price still goes up, yeah. But at least they're not, you don't have to throw them away.
Right.
I try to buy, you know, 3 or 4 books of them. I've got a couple of books at home, so now that the price went up, it doesn't matter.
When book is left, most of them, it's automated. Automated.
Yeah.
Yeah. We use that, but I just take something that you need.
Don't mail their stuff anymore. A birthday card, a couple of bills.
Yeah.
Everything's online now.
Is that a Liz Claiborne shirt?
No, it's not. Okay, golf sport. Ah, oh, okay. But I have a Liz Claiborne shirt. I have a torch.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Hold it or it gets better. It was pretty chilly when we were up
there. They were there. No, they had a 60-mile-an-hour wind. We had a few weeks of sales to go through.
Would you want to be cold and want to be good instead of pink?
Oh, no, I don't like to be cut my mouth.
What's wrong with the water?
Nothing's wrong with the water, but she's got paid for it.
Really?
Yeah, my mom's 90. So.
The water, how does it clean up?
Well, I don't want, I don't want her to have to pay extra for 90.
So they've been born in Canada? They born in Canada, right?
Yeah.
Easy.
Oh, yeah.
So we're live. That's when I go to have more kids with my pop. This door, this my... Oh my God, when my daughter was 6 years old, I was 40, almost a long time ago.
Okay.
A couple of decades
ago. Yeah. Where did your daughter live then?
She lived in Oklahoma. What's she doing out there?
That's a long way.
Well, then she's 400 degrees.
Oh, okay. Well, then what are you doing in Florida?
I don't know.
New Balls
Way. I'm looking for a man, but I couldn't find one. They told me to go down to the beach, but I don't
go
see
the
any. Bunch of stalkers.
one see the man easy by Rusty. By Sanjiri. A lot of men. Yeah, that's good. No, I'm good.
Imagine with five girls that all think they're going. Well, we don't have any kids, so it's only just two of us. Are they in Oklahoma too?
So that takes away the dead skin?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. I like that. No, what is this do?
Well, the, I did do the scale, and I am...
This for the wrinkles?
Yes. Roll your eyes to relax.
Thank you.
When I do that, just one time, it's okay, it's okay,
let me take that off. Thank you.
She just lived to 65.
65?
A long time ago, oh, yeah. She died. She was only 60. Yeah. I was pretty young. But she was a
okay. It's my dad needs to.
Yeah. And your mother didn't stop? My mother has two.
She didn't
stop. Uh-huh. Yeah. How many children? I have four.
How many boys? How many girls?
One boy, three girls.
One boy, three girls?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seven grandchildren.
Oh, seven grandchildren?
Boys and three girls. I have, I didn't, what, here?
No.
No, they're 30 years old.
Oh, 30
years old. Yeah. Well, the oldest one is 29, and then the youngest one is 12.
Yeah.
All different ages. Most of them are big. Most of them are. Four of them have already graduated from college. None of them are married. No. So,
I can't believe it.
That is good. So we do this every month from now on. I'm going to be good about this, Angel. It's cooling the wrinkles off.
Seems so fresh now.